Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Howdy.
Welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about perfect offers to owner's mailer. What makes it perfect? How you do the right one, how you do the wrong one, the whole gamut. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Okay. DC asked, I just received a delinquent tax notice on a parcel I bought December 21st, 2015 and sold January 11th, 2016. Nice timing, by the way. Good job. See, this is, by the way, this backs up to my whole look at what happens around the holidays.
Oh.
Everyone, you can buy things and sell things. You think people think things shut down, but no, they don't. So
I shut down. That's why.
That's why. I do that too. The county is telling me that because I was the last owner of record in 2015, I owe all the taxes for 2015 or they will slap a lien on it. I haven't owned the parcel in months and only owned it for just that brief period for 2015. The buyer was from Craigslist. And a real challenge to work with. And I have no desire to reach out to him. What should I do?
This actually, the whole thing miffs me a little bit, so can I answer?
Sure. Miffs me. I don't know if I've ever heard you use that word. That's good.
The information that you received, DC, from the county person is 100% incorrect. Not 95%. It's not like in some counties they do it this way and some they don't. None of that business. It's 100% incorrect. These properties, the back taxes travel with the property, all right? What they're getting confused with is prorations and escrow. So if you buy at any given time, there's some amount of taxes. If you're going to buy a property in exactly the middle of the year, right? Which is what? 365 divided by 2, which doesn't divide, right? There's always one day more for the buyer and one day less for the seller. But that's only prorated if you do agree on that with an escrow agent. Let's say you do it the way we do a lot of these deals, where you just buy it and you convey the property and that's it. Well, in that case, regardless of the amount of back taxes, it conveys. So the new person inherits all the problems or the liens or whatever. Or if there's no taxes at all, the new owner gets that too. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so important to really look at this before you buy it. Mm-hmm. So In this case specifically, there's a new owner, the Craigslist guy who's a pain in the butt. It's his problem. He didn't pay the taxes is what happened. Mm-hmm. He did not pay. So I'm really surprised that you even called the county about it at all. Not you specifically, but this is a middle finger situation.
Yeah. This is a have a nice day.
This is good luck with that.
Right.
I'm doing some real estate deals over here.
And you know what, DC, you're not alone. There's times that I've had to politely educate county officials. And the key there is politely, you know, so you could either A, do nothing, which is what you should do. But B, next time you get a call like this, you know, if you want to politely say, thank you very much, actually, you know, and if you want to inform them, but you are correct. You don't need to worry about that.
Here's the truth of it. So Jill and I talk about it all the time. We've sold thousands and thousands and thousands of properties. We get tax bills. We have mountains of paper tax bills that we get, and they get all put into like a mail bin. And every once in a while, when I'm bored, I'll go over there and just look at it and then probably just walk away. Because we've conveyed the properties. We don't own them anymore. I don't know if the people recorded it or if they didn't. We just, you know, you just stay out of it. Mm-hmm. You just... You're going to get tax bills if you're in this business for the rest of your life.
Right.
Some of the properties you probably still legally own because the deeds were sent. Mm-hmm. But either way, the deal's done.
Yeah, legally owned means you sent the deeds out and they haven't recorded it yet.
That's right.
So technically you don't legally because they have a deed. You don't own it. They own it, but it's not recorded yet, so they don't know that.
Exactly.
So
if you're getting deeds on properties, and you will get deeds on properties at deals that you've done in the past, just forget it. Mm-hmm. It's like you didn't get it.
Exactly.
They can't. They're never going to come back on you.
I'm trying to think of an example that, you know, you could use real world that this happens. I always just think of cars or something like that, but I don't know. Like, say,
like a comparison.
Yeah, just like giving an example of something other than a property, you know, that like. It's like you bought something on sale and the sale's over. They're not going to come to you and say, oh, now you know, the real price is this. You owe me more money. No, mm-hmm. I got it. I bought it. I'm done. See ya. You know.
Let's think about this. I don't want to get too deeply into it, but let's say. Now, I never experienced this, but let's say this theoretically could happen. Let's say you went to college and you own a car, like a 1983 CJ7 Jeep that's red. And you went to college in, you know, between 1980 and 1985. I mean, 85 and 89. And you got a lot of parking tickets during that time.
And oh, this is really good information. So you, this is just interesting. Like accumulating... You have a lot of details for these hypothetical situations. Please tell us more.
And it was in Michigan, but that doesn't matter.
Okay.
We got a lot of parking tickets at that time. And then, but
not you, in theory.
Yeah, this person.
Yes.
And then, so after college, the person sold the car to somebody. Do the parking tickets travel with it or not? Do they follow the Jeep around?
I think they follow the individual around.
I think they do, too. I know they do.
I said, that's a different situation. Maybe that's what the person's thinking, that these PAXs follow you around like a parking ticket.
Maybe. Maybe that person actually got a phone call from the dean that said, you're not going to graduate unless you pay these parking tickets. And I'm not joking. And you're on a long list of idiots.
That he has to call.
This is a true story.
What? Hypothetical became true? I had to pay, not see that coming.
I didn't have a dollar. All right. I had to come up with a lot of money, like $600 in tickets. And it's all fees and all kinds of stuff.
Well, it's because you were 20 and stupid.
Well, yeah. Versus 50 and stupid.
Yeah.
Stupider.
Here's a hypothetical situation. Let's just say.
So it's not like that. I'm probably confusing everybody with a little bit of entertainment. The any of all this stuff, it travels with the property. Here's another one along the lines of property, just to drive this home. You go buy a house, and you get a mortgage on it, like everybody. And so let's say it's a $100,000 house. You get an $80,000 mortgage, and then and the deed gets recorded by the... It's the same regular situation. The deed gets recorded by the escrow person, it's over. 5 years later... You convey the real estate. Now, it's got a lien attached to it. You convey the real estate to your sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. Now, the sister-in-law owns the house legally, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to get recorded. What happens with the mortgage? Like, does the mortgage travel with the property? Mm-mm. Yeah. The mortgage, mortgage is still secured by the piece of real estate.
That's true.
But you, the person, the original owner, not the sister-in-law, have signed personally for it. Yeah. So you have to, you know, in most cases, in most states. So you're still responsible for the mortgage.
Right.
But it's still tied to the asset. So who loses? The sister-in-law.
Exactly. She paid you.
She owns nothing.
Yeah,
really.
Exactly. They can still come take the house.
So I don't want to complicate stuff, but let's recap so it's real simple. In this type of asset where there's no mortgages and there's no parking tickets involved, there's just some accumulated taxes, they travel with the property. They can get conveyed to 10 different people. The guy who owns it that minute is responsible for all the taxes if they want to keep the property.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
What is this show about
anyway? You get an A.
You get an A, but only if you pay your parking tickets.
Exactly. I have a funny parking ticket story, but I'm not going to tell it now. You want to hear it now?
Yeah. We'll talk about a perfect mailer in a minute.
Okay. All right. So my funny parking ticket story is I thought I was so smart. I was, I don't know, 16, 17 years old. I'm down at the beach. I got there a little bit late. No parking spaces to be found.
How can you be late to a beach?
Well, to get good parking, you can't be. Yeah, you're not late to the beach. Yeah. Water's all gone.
No, man, you missed it.
Exactly. Yeah, waves are over today. So I thought I was so smart because I saw a parking spot like right next to a mailbox. So I'm thinking, I borrowed a parking ticket off somebody else's car
to
conveniently put it on my car and park in front of the mailbox. I thought this was brilliant. Passed my car like three times that day, walking up and down the sidewalk, going to do something. I'm like, I thought I had this solved. This is all great. Yes, of course. And at the end of the day, when I went to get in my car and leave for the day, I was that ticket was politely replaced with a nice note, too, by the way. Politely replaced with a, what do you think you're doing? A note as a, this is your own ticket now. Have fun with this one.
Yeah.
I didn't do that ever again.
We've all done stuff like that. Trying to, you know, mess with the system.
Exactly.
And the more prevalent computers are, the more it's just impossible now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Anyway, okay. let's go to the show here.
Totally.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us on landacademy.com. This is the meat of the show. What is involved in a perfect offer to an owner, mailer? What do you put in that document, that exact piece of paper that makes them do what you want them to do, which is sign it and send it back? What's on there?
Here's a tip. You said it.
You what?
It's an offer.
You what?
Number one. Offer, tip number one. What Jack just said is an offer.
So there's lots of ways to slice this pie. I've tried most of them. Maybe all of them, but for sure most of them. And the one that we use now, and the one that all of our members use, is the best one. And we're going to talk about why. Go ahead, Jill. What does it contain?
There's two pieces. Who's going to receive it? That's the careful part. But what's in it? The details on the offer.
So let's talk about that. The details on the offer. That's kind of really what this show is about. Okay. How to scrub data and stuff is coming later in the week.
Okay. So the details on the offer are, it's personal. It's individual's details.
It's addressed to a person.
Property details.
It's addressed to a person. It's not addressed to or current resident, or it's just addressed to Mrs. Sally Smith.
Mm-hmm. At 123 Main Street, about her property at, 621 South Way in two states over, whatever it is.
Yeah, in XYZ County in A state. Mm-hmm. And maybe put the APN in there too.
Right. So yeah, for me, the best details are, it's very personal. All the property information is in there and it's correct. So I know when I open up the offer that you're really sending it to me, and you're sending it for that 40-acre property I have in, Utah or wherever it is.
Exactly.
And you have the APN there and the size, and I know you did your homework because it's all correct.
Yeah.
You have it all there. And then the best part is there's a dollar amount. You're telling me exactly what you're going to offer me and when and how it's going to go.
Yep. So the sentence would be like this. Mrs. Smith, and it's addressed in a professional letters format. That's what we use. Mrs. Smith, we're really interested in purchasing your 40-acre property, whose APN is 123456 in Iron County, Utah, for $3,482. Please let us know if you're interested. We got your information from the county, from a source that covers the county. It's a public record. It's a matter of public record. And we've priced it based on a bunch of factors, but if you're really interested in learning all that, you can call XYZ, or you can just sign below, because we are prepared to close 3 weeks from this date, or on Saturday the 15th, whichever you choose. And then to close it, that's a great example. And then there's some other things to explain who you are and why. And then you need to say a couple of things on the actual document that say, like, if you're interested, please tell them what to do. Mm-hmm. Sign this and send it back, or fax it at this number, or email us, and we will process your situation, and we will complete this transaction on a certain date. Mm-hmm. So it's a total call to action. They have a clear picture of exactly what's going to happen.
How it's going to happen.
Yep.
What they're going to get.
Why you're offering it.
Who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least how to go find you, too. You can direct them to your site if they want your homework.
Well said. I was just going to say that. Yeah. First thing they're going to do is Google you and see if this is for real or for some weird thing. And they're going to find, because you follow our instructions, you started a website and you have a phone number and somebody's answering it and all these things that increase your yield
and
dramatically.
She's not the only property. Look at the other ones that are available.
They have all these other ones. And maybe you're part of a group like us. So that even lends more credibility.
Exactly.
And so credibility after credibility after credibility. And so finally the person's sitting there with a pen in their hand and they're saying, you know what? I could use $3,400. Mm-hmm. I don't care about this property. I never have. Maybe they inherited it. Mm-hmm. And so, Or maybe they call and they talk to somebody like Jill or Jill herself and they say, you know what? This is legit.
Right. Exactly.
That's what you want from a mailer. Mm-hmm. It has to contain details. here's exactly what you do not want. Jill, I'm going faster this because we horsed around with parking tickets and stuff.
Okay.
So good. Interrupting any time is what I mean.
Okay.
What you do not want to do, and Seth Williams would disagree with me, send a postcard or a yellow letter or trick somebody. I saw a mailer yesterday in Bigger Pockets. Somebody said, is this okay to send it? And then they put a copy of it in there, and it's all a big trick.
Oh.
Do you know that there are back taxes associated with your property,
and
there's a
this
will be foreclosed.
They're going to come after you. It's going to ruin your credit. I hate that stuff. That's all false.
A bunch of crap.
Yeah. Don't do that.
First of all, don't just mail back tax properties ever.
Exactly. And don't do scare tactics to get them to call you. That's the worst thing on the planet. I know.
It's really prevalent.
I get those. You know, when I see, you know, we get them in our mail because we have stuff that there's taxes all the time. And it's the funniest thing. I'm looking at these. I'm going to start posting those going, this is bad.
I was thinking about doing that too.
We should. That'd be good. I'm going to tell our team to hang on a few of those because those are some not nice stuff.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's what you don't want to do. And like you just said, an open-ended postcard. Oh, that's pretty. We'll just put a pizza coupon on there on the bottom too, and that's because I'll use that.
If you send any version of a letter of interest, whether it's a postcard, the silly thing about put a dollar in the mail.
Right.
We're interested in, hey, property owner, we're interested in buying your property.
Give us
a call and we'll talk about the price. All that's going to do is make them call you.
Yeah.
And then you're going to talk about the price for hours and hours and hours.
Right.
That's not what you want. That's not the call to action you want to. You will get. It'll work.
Oh yeah. And you're going to be spending. You're going to be paying their price, not your price.
Right.
You want to smoke out the real people who are in the ballpark of your offer. That's all you want.
What you're looking for when you send this mailer out is a situation. You're not looking for the perfect piece of property or the perfect real estate deal. You're looking for an owner's situation or circumstance. Maybe the owner passed away and the kids don't want it anymore. Maybe that person needs some money really fast that week. Mm-hmm. There's a million reasons or triggers, I call them, that make people sign that thing and send it back. And that's what you're looking for. Then you look at the real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Almost everybody does this backwards. The whole point to that document is to get them to sign it and send it back at the price that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's actually worth it. So let's say in the Utah example, she signs it and sends it back. And then now you start to go through your due diligence and check it out on the internet and make sure it's got some access and the whole thing. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't.
A good thing to point out is on all of our offers, there are contingencies at the bottom. This is contingent upon, you know, A, B, C, D. There's I don't know, several outs that you can say, you know what? I thought it had this as it doesn't. So we can either A, renegotiate the price, you know, or B, you know, say, thank you very much. I'm actually not interested.
I mean, the one that.
And that's okay.
The last contingency out there I always put in any of this is this purchase is pending our review of the property.
Right.
And that's it. Then it's like, yeah, well, it didn't pass our review and you don't even have to say why.
Exactly. And that's okay. You have an out.
So that's what's got to contain. You know, the offer that we actually send out, the documents all over the internet. You know, mm-hmm. I don't even need to post it on our website. You can find it.
Exactly.
I never tried to hide it. It's
true.
Not, you know.
Yeah.
There's a few people that say, ha, I got it. I got it. And I got an old list from China. And I can do this for 3 cents. Only 3 cents. I don't have to spend
any money. At my dining room table.
And knock yourself out. Yeah. That's what I say.
Exactly.
Lick some stamps.
If you are paying anything north of 40 cents for a stamp, which they're normally 49, everyone, you think you got a deal because you bought them on eBay cheaper. That's not a deal, by the way. If you're putting your own stamp on an envelope, you already are spending too much.
If you own a printer and you have a box of envelopes anywhere in your world,
stamps on eBay,
you're doing it all wrong. You're not doing it wrong. You're just doing it not the most efficient way.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me,
and inspiration, that's me,
to get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy a property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your mailer ambition. Good show, Jill.
Yeah. I don't mean to pick on anybody, but I'm really trying to hit it home that you shouldn't be doing this stuff on your own. You need to be doing all these other things.
You know, the people that are interested in doing this the right way, right, in the most efficient way to turn the highest yield, that those are the people who find their way to our group. And there's
That's
a lot of
true.
Them. The people who are interested in cutting corners and doing it cheaper and with less results and all that, they don't find our way. And I've never, like I've said, you and I have said this a million times.
I know.
We're not here. This is not our real job. Our real job is buying and selling assets.
Do you know what? Because I feel bad. You know, I sincerely feel bad for those people because they are wasting money and energy.
I agree.
And that's my thing. If you think you're saving and doing it yourself and all that, in the very bitter end, when you figure out how much money you had to spend to get that data and do this yourself and all that, you add it all up, you didn't save any money. And I'd like to convey that to them and just say, hey, there's a better way.
I do a lot of consulting calls with people that call me and say, you know, this is not what I expected. Not people in our group, but other people. I did all the stuff you guys talk about on the show. I didn't yield what I thought. And invariably, it's like one of three things. You know, well, did you look it on a stamp? Look the stamp? Oh, yeah, because I don't have any. It does cost this much. When you lick a stamp, you're not using a bulk mail, sophisticated bulk mail printer. And it's not being run through any of the software.
It's true.
That it needs to be run through to detect problems long before you spend money. Mm-hmm. So there's big problems with licking a stamp. It's not just the cost and the envelopes and all that stuff. You're not sending it the right way. And then the next one is, well, I got the data from XY from a place in China.
Right.
And it only cost me 13 cents for the whole thing. Yeah. You bought data from somebody who printed some stuff out 40 years ago and you sent it all out. It's just not going to get a result.
Or you trusted your VA to scrub the data and make the offers. You're trying to teach a virtual assistant in another country how to do it for you because you think that's saving time. And I get it. Don't know what you do.
By the way, I've done all these things. That's how I know they don't work.
Right. It's not complicated, but there's some steps you got to go through.
Exactly.
So, thank you, Jack.
You're welcome.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.